Dubai Eye
103.8. Now, we've been talking about the weather a lot over the last couple of weeks, with good reason as well. And we're now going to continue that conversation with several startups and organisations from across the globe. Many of them part of the Climate Innovation Exchange, all game changers in their own right that can help in the fight against climate change. Let's talk weather with a group of individuals, four individuals in fact, that are all playing a large role along with their organisations, their startups, their companies in mitigating the effects of climate change. They are, as I mentioned, part of the Climate Innovation Exchange, and they are for the next hour our weather panel down here on Dubai Eye 103.8. Now, we'll introduce them to you individually. Ordinarily, I'd then sort of give you a 30-second heads up as to what their company is all about. But why should I do that? They're here. They can give us the 30-second pitch. So we'll start with Leonardo. Leonardo Del Sovo is from Studio Map. Leonardo, thanks for being with us. Studio Map, what's Studio Map?
So Studio Map is an Italian-based company, startup. We are specialized in location intelligence, and we use satellite imagery and artificial intelligence to measure the impact of climate change. And yeah.
Good to have you with us. Thanks very much indeed for being with us. The man alongside you is the CEO of Constellar. It is Max Gulda, who is with us as well. Welcome, Max.
Well, thank you for having us here, Tom. Constellar is a joint spin-off of two of Europe's largest research organizations, namely German Fraunhofer and the German Aerospace Center. And with Constellar, we're not only going to answer emerging market need in Earth observation by providing infrared data, we're also going to help preventing the global agriculture breakdown. But I'm sure we'll talk about this a bit later.
We will indeed. Great to have you with us, Max. Alongside me, we also have Dr. Ali Abdul Karim. Now, Dr. Ali Abdul Karim is from Farmin. Welcome, sir. Tell us about Farmin.
So Farmin essentially is a combination of, again, satellite imagery with artificial intelligence. We remotely monitor farms. We monitor their greenhouse emissions. We monitor the yields inside them, and we look at how the weather affect the greenhouse and vice versa, the relationship between them, essentially.
Great to have you with us. Thank you so much indeed. And finally, the CEO of The Catalyst, which is a Masdar BP initiative. Sina Kura is with us as well. Welcome to you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Tell us about Catalyst.
Well, we formed in 2017. It's an initiative of Masdar and BP located in Masdar City. We're hosting a lot of different startups, but as a free zone, we have 600 plus companies, all in technology. We're the region's one and only accelerator focusing on sustainability.
Gentlemen, welcome to you all. Thank you for being with us as we turn our attention to trying to mitigate the effects of climate change through your efforts and others as well. Question off the bat for me, and obviously we've seen some intemperate weather here in the region over the last couple of weeks. All around us at the moment is innovation in all different industries. None more so than in meteorology and with regards to weather and weather forecasting and predictions. And yet, we still seem to get it wrong. Now, why are we at this point where we are still at a position that we can't actually predict what the weather is doing? Or is that just a very, very simple approach from somebody who says, okay, the weather forecasters have got it wrong yet again? Are we still, let's start with you, Max, in terms of how close have we got to be able to predict the weather?
It's not my specialty, this area, but in general, what I can say is, as being a physicist, it is a very complex systems, a system, and a very complex system are very difficult to predict. And what we see in the last decades, basically, as a matter of fact, we see climate change, and we see changing and ever higher amplitude. So we get more extreme weathers. And as far as we go into extremes, that's of course more difficult to predict. So let's say if we average the weather, the average is probably not changing a lot. But the extremes are, and I think what we need and what currently limits our capability is not only computational power or AI, machine learning, like all these things, but is the monitoring capability. So because if something which is changing quickly, you need to be able to also monitor it quickly, to be able to react quickly. And that's something where we have limiting Earth observation capabilities. That's my take.
Let's get the thoughts of Leonardo on this one as well, because you turn the news on these days and the weather, or dare I say climate, is part of the headlines in certain parts of the world at the moment. Are we seeing that more frequently now than we have done in the past?
Apparently so, I think so. That's why we are working a lot to find solution to help, for example, in disaster management response, because with satellite data nowadays we can have a lot of information about every area in the world more easily with higher resolution. So we can also, help to mitigate the effect of the climate change. Of course, trying to study in more details and predict, but also understand the causes and how to act in order to improve the situation is also a crucial effort we all need to make.
Ali, is this a global concern? There will be those here in the UAE saying, okay, look, we see the natural disasters in other parts of the world, but is this something that is affecting all of us around the world at the moment?
Well, actually, so actually what I noticed even over the last year is an increase in the number of like farmers who are approaching us saying that we would like to have an insurance on our farm.
Yeah.
And so the number has been rising, and this is probably is due to the increasing disaster, and they are afraid on their harvest. And so this is probably is one of the clearest indication that yes, the disaster are increasing and the global concern toward them is increasing for sure.
And is it a fight, do you think, Sina, that all of us need to be a part of at the moment? Yeah, okay, we are conscious on the place that we call home, and that is our immediate responsibility, but do we all bear a wider responsibility?
Well, when this bushfire happens in Australia, my heart started to burn, because this is a world heritage. It's not about one country is getting in this disaster zone, but we all have to take precautionary strategies to prevent a lot of things. So when we're doing the clean tech and when we're supporting clean tech related startups, we're all looking into these aspects. So how we can prevent it, how we can stop it. Because some things are inevitable, obviously. We're as a humans, we're polluting the world. We need to minimize it. We need to start using more recyclable materials, turn into new things, and spend money and spend funding on these, and try to protect the world. So technology plays a lot of role, obviously. I like what these gentlemen are doing there with their startups. And hopefully things will get better, but it will take some time.
Let's talk about getting off the ground if we can with you, because obviously one thing we've all got in common is that mention of startup as well. And this is rapidly becoming a very competitive field as well. How do people get ideas like this off the ground? What are the sort of, you've seen a few pitches in your time, I'm sure. What are the things that are really striking home at the moment?
To be honest, is the first education starts all the way from probably even the elementary school now, because the minds are developing so fast. We didn't have tablets at our time when we were growing. Now these guys, they all do. So the analytics are really developing in the brain. We shouldn't be, of course, copycatting a lot of things, but the idea is coming up for universities, the research centers. They have to, because the way they get educated, these engineers, I'm an engineer as well. When we get the education, it's not about what you remember, if you remember the derivatives or sigmas and all that. It's how you move the life with this engineering, what kind of duties you have to do to get things realized. And also, of course, the research plays a lot of huge role in this. In Europe, in other parts of the world, there are lots of different funding. But to be honest with you, the GCC is growing a lot at this moment. To bring clever ideas, to make sure that these ideas are born in UAE and so forth, so we can realize them by materializing them into different product systems and so forth.
Ali, how's the challenge? How's the process been for you? Has it been a challenge to sell your ideas to investors, to accelerators?
Well, I think challenge is part of it. As they say, a smooth sea never makes a good sailor, but. Yeah, I think I had a challenge. The challenge was, and many times, like selling it to investors, many of them were not ready at the pre-seed stage and were not ready until we got like approval of the data. And so once we got it, it has been much easier currently now.
And is that something, Leonardo, that you'd concur with as well, in terms of the product that you're trying to sell to a wider community as well in this sort of field. Has it been a challenge for you? Maybe you can talk us through a couple of challenges.
Our first goal is to convince the customers, first of all, which is the most important aspect of the business. We also been in touch with many accelerators and organizations trying to help us to boost our business. So it's sometimes challenging to talk about sustainability because some investors, other entities are more interested to know all the details about the business and the economical aspect of it. But we are improving also this in the startup ecosystem.
Max, for you, getting off the ground, is that one of the big challenges? Is that the initial challenge?
It kind of is. So I agree with Leonardo that sustainability for a lot of investors is not a very sexy topic. So what you need to do, you need to strike the balance between, on the one hand, doing something for your environment, on the other hand, making it financially attractive. And that's something which took us quite a time to do. But then at some point, you, as a startup, you enter a lot of competitions, and you start actually winning competitions, or at least being amongst the finalists. And this is also something, that's the reason we're here, Clicks now. All of us, we are finalists, and that's something, as simple as it sounds, it is extremely important, because this gives you media presence, and it gives you kind of authority, and say, okay, these guys are at least good enough to get in the finals, okay, let's maybe listen to them. Maybe they have to say something worthwhile. And that's also for us, it was a turning point that we said, okay, we always said, we want to do something which has not been done before. And people say, okay, yeah, but we know that NASA and ESA, they tried since the 90s, and they didn't do it. And it's like, yeah, but we believe we can do it. And that's, of course, a big thing to claim. And now suddenly, even we got the backing from ESA and say, okay, these guys are good, they have our backings. And this is basically, was the turning point for us. So yeah, the initial, it's a difficult start, but always remember, it is not a sprint, it's a marathon, so be persistent, and you'll be successful.
From the Abu Dhabi National Exhibition Center,
this is The Agenda.
Live at Abu Dhabi Sustainability Week, accelerating sustainable development.
On Dubai Eye 103.8.
You're listening to Dubai Eye 103.8. You're listening to The Agenda. You are listening to our All-Star Weather Panel, our Climate Council down here at Abu Dhabi Sustainability. 2020, ahead of tomorrow's announcement of the Climate Innovation Exchange 2020, which again has attracted international exposure, given a number of different finalists that have come together. Several of those finalists are with us here now. We've got Leonardo Dal Sovo from Studio Map, Max Gulda, he's the CEO of Constel R, and Dr. Ali Abdul Karim from Farmin, plus Sina Kura, the CEO of The Catalyst, a Masdar BP initiative that serves as a startup technology accelerator, also here as well. And Sina, I just want to get your thoughts again, if I may, on the whole process, because interesting hearing there from Max just before we went to the break about the importance of events like Clicks, the importance of competitions to raise awareness and profile of startups like this. Is that part of the process? Does getting recognition in a competition elevate you?
Correct. Well, Clicks is the one of the most important for us, ADSW, because we're on, like I said, concentrated on the sustainability. But besides Clicks, there are other events regionally, locally, in Dubai, in Abu Dhabi, and so forth, that we're concentrated on to get a good pipeline of different startups. But Clicks, we pay extreme attention because many of the decision makers, judges, they're good friends, and they're all looking into these kind of new technologies. And I believe these gentlemen are very extremely lucky, because in UAE, you know, we have UAE Space Agency and we have Mohammed bin Rashid Space Center. So two entities, they're really working a lot to get different space-related startups up and running. And they have very good contacts internationally. Therefore, I believe they're on the right spot. But Clicks is one of the number one startup selection arena for us. But we pay attention. But always on our website, we receive different applications. And we never believe on 5-minute pitches, because these guys are spending so much time. They're giving their life on the table to get things done. And we pay really good attention. Sometimes it takes weeks. Sometimes it takes, there's startups that took 1 year to get them into the system because we do all the due diligence and valuations and all that.
And they're extremely lucky if they're in our program. And I wish all them luck, of course.
Yeah, of course. We'll have the big announcements tomorrow, Max. Just to that end as well. The competition is one thing. Is it another thing be able to come down to an event like Abu Dhabi Sustainability Week? We've got a lot of like-minded individuals around that you're able to expand more on your visions and what you hope to achieve.
Yeah, of course. So I think, especially in the beginning, one of the major things for startup is the network. And you're only as strong as your network. Because, I mean, you imagine you have few people and you try to have a global vision and realize this global vision. So that's never a one-man show. And we connected to so many startups, either as potential customers, as someone who develops technology, someone who simply helps you, tells you, okay, do you know this accelerator? Do you know that event? You should go there. Or I've met this and that company. So the network is really everything. And especially here, the amazing thing about Clixus and this event is that you are so close to decision makers, and that is not usually the case. So especially since we are from Europe, or I'm from Europe, in Europe it's difficult at times to get to the decision makers, like to get to the director general of ESA or anyone in this league. And here you have direct access to these people, they listen to you, they take you serious, so it's a really nice opportunity.
Yeah, and as Sina was mentioning here about the sort of, you know, the struggles that startups go through, and Leonardo, I just want to get your sort of take, because from an Italian point of view, you're an Italian startup. You know, you are a country steeped in tradition and history. You have some of the finest architecture known to mankind, some of the greatest art, and here you are trying to sell smart cities at the moment as well. Again, when you come to a different part of the world, when you come to somewhere where you're surrounded by a very modern outlook, is that sort of refreshing to you in many ways, that you have people that will listen?
Well, Italians are also famous for creativity, so we are here to try to bring also this kind of aspect in this region. I agree with Max. This event has been really interesting for us, connecting to people, but also understanding where the market will go in the future. So this is really important for us to get this.
In terms of smart cities and people's understanding of smart cities as well, is that something that changes when you go around the world, when you speak to would-be investors around the globe? Do some people have a better understanding of it than others?
I think here the people are really looking for the future of smart cities, so it's really easy to talk with the people here, decision makers, but also other companies that are interested to invest in this area. Because, for example, in Italy it's a little bit harder because we are a little bit behind in this, so coming to here has been really interesting for us.
And Ali, just in terms of one of the questions that we will get to in a few moments' time about technology, the use of technology, there is so much technology that we can now take advantage of, and you can in your goals and what you hope to achieve. Is it important to be able to harness that technology at the moment, given the fact that technology is moving forward so quickly?
Well, one of the things that we actually took advantage of is the open source codes. So these are highly optimized code that are running. Like, they are optimized by highly efficient people that they are better than us in what they do. What we did is we took some of their data. There were open source data that we also took from their site. So these are other sorts of technology that we also harnessed. So the advancement to technology, the other thing is the availability of the data that we can get. With the increase in the technology, there are smaller satellites that are being launched with extended capabilities. So all of these are providing us with accessibility to data and accessibility to codes.
From the Abu Dhabi National Exhibition Center,
this is The Agenda.
Live at Abu Dhabi Sustainability Week, accelerating sustainable development.
On Dubai I 103.8.
Yeah, and hopefully we've done our bit through our various panels throughout the course of this week. Clean transport on day one, sustainability yesterday. And today, well, it's all about climate innovation in, of course, anticipation of tomorrow's announcement of the CLICS Awards down here at Abu Dhabi Sustainability Week. To that end, we put together an all-star cast, a panel that have been discussing the impact of climate change, what their startups are trying to do to impact that, and also talking to the team who have been such an accelerator for change here, all the team at the Catalyst, a Masdar BP initiative that serves as a startup technology accelerator here in the region. A lot of questions coming through for our guests, so let's finish up with those questions from our listeners out there. Let's start with you, Dr. Ali. Question that's come through from Arwa, who texted through on 4001, saying, to your opinion, which areas are hardest hit by heavy rains here in the UAE, like we've seen recently? And surely cloud seeding experts must work with companies like yours. Cloud seeding, obviously, a very keen topic here at the moment.
True. Well, according to the report that we generated through the last couple of days, I think the hardest area that was hit was next to Al Ain. That was the hardest area. There were other areas which were also hit hard. These also include like Falaj al-Mualla and Umm al-Qayawin, include Mizyad, include Fua. So these were the hardest hit places in UAE. And we saw the picture, we saw the floods that came out of this. As for the cloud seeding, we actually are in contact with one of the cloud seeding ministries here. And so we see what they do. They want us to predict, like, for example, and if we put these amounts, how much are we going to get at the end of the day? And so they want to track their progress with our projections to see how it's going to be.
Thanks for that question, Arwa, and our thanks to Dr. Ali as well. Max, let's go over to you. Here's another one for you. Hopefully I'm not picking on you with this one. This one's from Anne, so I'll see if you can help us with this. Anne says, loving the conversation, but how new is the technology that we're talking about at the moment and that you guys are using? Why, oh why, are people still being evacuated after a natural disaster happens rather than before?
Okay, so there's actually two questions I try to answer both. The first one, how new is the technology? So the technologies we're using is cryocool technology. We use 3D metal printing, freeform optics and other stuff. And that is actually fairly new. But you always have to be aware that technology is not thrown on the market and immediately applied to all fields. So it takes some time to validate it, to apply it to different fields, to modify it respectively. And this simply takes time. It's the longest time it takes in the medical sciences. For us in the physical engineering part, it's a bit faster. But I would say that we leverage a lot of the technology from the last two decades, and most of the technology actually from the last decade. So I hope this answers the first part of the question. The second part is a really tricky one because it heavily depends on what type of disaster you're actually looking at. To give you an example, if you have volcanoes, most of the volcanoes worldwide or globally are today set out with a whole bunch of sensors which are measuring activity. They're measuring gas levels, heat, of course, and still every now and then we fail to predict something because, as mentioned initially, it is a very complex system. So some of the things are well, we have a good chance to see them weeks before. For example, if we go to slow processes like droughts, where we have a slowly decrease of available water, and then at some point the crop fails, for example, that's something we can actually leverage best with infrared technology. Just giving a remark here, that's exactly what we're doing at Constellar. Other things which are, let's say, more chaotic, as I mentioned, volcanoes or maybe floods or anything which is weather related, so meteorological things, or even something which can be started by humans. Most of the fires actually are started by human interaction, and that is something which is a lot harder to predict, and we will always be in the position that we have to react and not act.
And another one that's just come through, this one's from George. Leonardo, maybe I can get you to answer this one. Saying a lot of talk about the application of AI or artificial intelligence. Often a lot of us hear that it is more expensive. Is it still expensive to apply, or is that changing at the moment as well?
Probably the most difficult part is doing all the research around artificial intelligence, because today we are competing as a startup with big corporation, research institutes, so they have a lot of money to invest in this. As a startup, we need to focus on research, on artificial intelligence, but also taking care of the business, because we are not a non-profit organization. So we're putting a lot of energy to study all the details of artificial intelligence. And I think it will be really a game-changing research, and there will be a lot of opportunities in this field in a lot of different scenarios.
Listen, whilst you've got the mic, tell us how people can find out more about StudioMap.
So you can find more information about StudioMap in our website, www.studiomap.com. And please feel free to contact us for more information, and if you're interested to do some project, everything, we are more than happy to join with you.
And Ali, if people want to find out more about farming, where do they go for that?
Well, they can go direct to the website, they can log in, and they can actually try our platform for themselves and find information out of it. The website is actually farming, so farmin.ai, and if they want to send us information, then they can send at info@farmin.ai.
And to you, Mr. Max, as well, tell us where we can find out more about Constellar.
Okay, so our webpage is www.constellar.space, so Constellar with the missing A at the end, .space. You can find us on Twitter, you can find us on LinkedIn, and you can also find us, we're one of the ESA 4.0 challenge winners last year, so you can also find us via the Copernicus program.
Great to have you with us. I'm going to give final thoughts to my friend Sinar alongside me, who's been listening to all the pitches from the startups here, nodding away as well. I mean, the final thought has to go, obviously, to all the efforts that you at The Catalyst are doing, but also here at the moment. Here we are at ADSW. Here we are having these conversations and others on the floor. It's a good time to be having these conversations here at the moment.
Correct. Well, it's very good, to be honest. We've been waiting for ADSW every year so that this time comes up, and so we can express what's going on in the acceleration field and this for the startups and so forth. This is a great environment. To give you an update, for example, there are two more important events are coming up. One is with the Ministry of Food Security. It's called Food Tech Challenge. We're welcoming a lot of different startups that we start judging them by mid-February, January, February, let's say. And the second one is Innovation for Good, to create different startups, to welcome them for their solutions for different problems that we're facing across the globe. So we're part of these two entities. This area is great. We're always welcoming startups through our website. I mentioned before, catalyst.ae. Yeah. Our job is very tough because, yes, I'm an engineer. I worked in a long, long time ago in Iridium. I know satellite communication business. At the time, it was not easy to send video, of course. The bandwidth was not enough. Now, the guys have a lot more on their hand that they can utilize. But I recommend all the listeners and all the students and so forth and the youth that analytics is very important. They have to work on analytics. But besides that, entities like us, we try to create the market for these analytics. Okay, you have it, you create it, but at the end, unfortunately, you have to do some kind of a business, even though access to fundings across the world and across UAE is quite great. You always have to have some kind of a business, even if you're starting from scratch. So it's very important that and every time we have a startup, we sit down and we really think how we can get this startup to the, because it's very futuristic. Sometimes they're 3 years earlier, 4 years earlier than they supposed to be, but this is the time. So we always invest to future. That's why our acceleration program, it was a cohort before. We said, no, it's impossible, especially for one-of-a-kind startups who are here in front of us. So we're giving them a maximum of 1 year of acceleration with different market penetration. So tough job, great place to be. We welcome everyone, and thanks to you for...
Not at all, catalyst.ae, get yourself on there to find out more. And of course, we'll be announcing the winners tomorrow of CLICS 2020 down here at ADSW. To all of you gentlemen, thank you very much indeed for being with us. Thank you so much indeed for your time. Best of luck to all three of you tomorrow as well with the Innovation Exchange.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.